Bickley and Murata, the L.A. Phoenix sports rivalry.
We'll shoot it in. Smith stopping it again. He comes this way. Didn't see Green come up. He stopped it at the line. And the Coyotes go back deep in their own zone. Fed off the boards over there. I just saw a little high.
I had the wrong thing queued up. I wanted to play the injury there at the blue line. My bad.
You really want me to get that fired up again?
Shane Doan knows what I was going for, and he joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. My bad, Shane. How are you? Thanks for joining us. How you been?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. That is like the one moment in my life where that is as completely raw and vulnerable as I've ever been, and you want to show it again? Talk about it again?
Yeah, well, that's the Phoenix sports condition, Shane. You know this. And you're right. I mean, Bick and I have both known you for a long time. We've been here for your entire career. I've never seen you as agitated and upset in real time after the game, and even here and say it conjures something up in you now. I mean, when you think about that moment, what do you feel?
Oh, just that moment that it was. It wasn't right what was happening at that moment. It just wasn't right. And there's an element of me that kind of craves, you know, come on, let's make this right. That wasn't right what happened. But anyways, it's over and done with. And
all right.
I get to live with it.
Now, after that series was ended, you went off on the officiating. Do you still feel like you guys were not on a level skating surface, if you will?
No, I don't think that we weren't on a level skating surface. I just, you know what, sometimes things go against you that are out of your control in a matter of like, I don't believe that anyone was against us, and so I don't believe that that's the issue. I just think there was some things that didn't fall our way along throughout that series that due to whatever the circumstances were, and I don't think that it was I know it wasn't like a planned conspiracy right. or anything like that. It just happened, and when it happens, you know, a few times in a row, you end up feeling like that it wasn't right, and but at the same time, I'm over it now. What are you talking about? I'm totally over it.
Shane Doan, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. And in case you don't remember the details, Game 5 Western Conference Finals in overtime in 2012, Michael Roosevelt's taken out by what appeared to be a dirty shot by Dustin Brown. No penalty called. He's sprawled out on the ice. There's a reaction. Crowd's going nuts. 12 seconds later, the Kings score to win the game and win the series and eliminate the Coyotes. Do you think you, looking back on that, Shane, do you think maybe the team was a little bit distracted by the reaction to the injury?
Maybe. I mean, I think it's momentum, man. It happens. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
There wasn't any major mistake made right after. It was a good play by LA to score. It wasn't something that you'd be like, oh, that was there was a major mistake made right after that. It just, I know they kind of come down the wall and cut to the middle, get a shot from the middle of the ice that we don't necessarily want to give up, but you end up giving up sometimes from a ways out, and it passes by a couple guys, and Smitty can't see it, and it goes in. And the harder part on top of what that was like, 3 minutes, 4 minutes before that, Drew Doughty flips a puck over the glass, and they rule that it was touched instead of being a power play for us in overtime. They just say it was a one off us, and a faceoff comes outside, and it clearly goes over. And it's not like anyone's trying to make that mistake; it just happened.
So
that kind of. You're just like, are you kidding? And then we'd already seen the replay. They haven't been able to see the replay. And we're fired up about the fact that that should have been a penalty. And then we thought that that should have been a penalty. And then you have an embarrassing moment when you can't control yourself. So.
Yeah. That's why we love you, man. You're just so real. You were around when Darian Hatcher, were you around when Darian Hatcher messed up Jeremy Roenick's show?
Absolutely.
Of course you were.
He's always been around.
He's always
been around. Thanks, Jared. Thanks.
Right. How does Dustin Brown compare to great Coyote villains when in that context?
Well, I mean, for us, it was huge. Like, that was, he was so good in the series as well. Like, not just, he just did an unbelievable job of agitating that series. Yeah, and it started, we had a really intense game against them in February that we were rolling, and we went into L.A. and beat them 1-0. Smitty was amazing. I think there was 4 fights in the game. Dustin ran over top of Rusty that kind of started, Rusty Klesla that kind of started it all off. That was what his job was. And I would give anything to have him play on my team. I just couldn't stand playing against him. That was the part that drove us crazy. But yeah, he did a good job of being a villain. And that Darian Hatcher, you know what's incredible about that? Is that right before Darian Hatcher hits JR, Craig Ludwig slashes him in the hand and breaks his thumb. And
I remember that.
He breaks JR's jaw. Hatcher breaks his jaw with an elbow, and Hatcher breaks his thumb with a slash. JR plays 2 more shifts. He comes off the ice, he's spitting out blood, and he thinks that he lost some teeth in his jaw, and obviously his jaw is sore. But he had split his jaw, and the split in his jaw had created a gap of about, it looked like 2 teeth were missing. And it wasn't until he came and showed the trainers how much blood he was spitting out that they realized that the bone had split in the middle of his mouth, and that was what was causing the blood. And he played 2 more shifts, and when he came back, he actually had more problems with the broken thumb because he couldn't move his hand properly when he came back to play Game 7. JR is so tough, it's ridiculous.
Oh, well, listen, dude, all you have to do is see him on that golf course at the time. He went up and started messing with an alligator. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Who does that, donor?
He tried to
jump on an alligator.
Oh, and then he grabbed... Did you see him when he had the Diamondback? He grabbed the Diamondback
in his garage. Yeah,
he pins it, grabs it, and is carrying around and walking with his rattlesnake.
Nuts.
Oh my goodness!
Right,
Shane, our guest here on Bickley and Marotta. We just had Alvin Gentry on, and he was the head coach of the Suns when they were eliminated in the Western Conference Finals the last time they made the playoffs. So I asked him how he thought his team would have fared in the finals. It would have been against Boston. How much time have you spent over the years thinking about how, or maybe, back in the day, how the Coyotes would have matched up against New Jersey that year in the finals?
Oh, we would have won.
No question about it, man.
Four-game
brooms,
right?
Bro.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things that obviously New Jersey there had been some upsets in the East that year as well. Because I think we were the number 3 seed, but L.A. was the number 8 seed. And New Jersey, I think, was the number 6 or 7 seed in the East. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of upsets, and I'm sure New Jersey thought that if we'd won, they would have beat us. But we definitely thought that if we'd won, we would have beat them. So that was their thought process, and it's everyone's. If you can just get there, we'll find a way to win. But obviously, you got that other part of getting there that kind of threw a curveball at us.
Yeah.
So
the Yeah, go ahead, Shane. I'm sorry.
No, it's so cool. I love this. I love talking about I remember that series with the Suns and Lakers, too. Like, so frustrating. So
here's what I want to ask you, because this to me is what's fascinating, especially when you see a team like the Las Vegas Golden Knights come into the league and go right to the Cup Finals and do all that stuff. You spent your career trying to get up the mountain in Phoenix, and you talk about bad breaks from Teppo Numinen injury in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, to your injury and the thing with Tip against the Red Wings, to finally get to that series against the Kings, to be playing in the Western Conference Finals, to have it 1 year, all come in 1 year, and never have it before or after. What does that feel like now?
Well, you know what? I think, like, it's hard. It's hard because I looked through, I was looking at it. There's only, I think, 6 teams that didn't play for the Stanley Cup in my 20 2 years of playing in the NHL. And to be on one of those six teams makes it a little difficult. The odds were definitely stacked in the favor of being on one of the other 24, but it's hard. It's hard at the same time as I really wouldn't change anything, but that was a lot of that series. And I think that and I'm not saying I knew it, but I felt that's probably as much of the why that I was so raw and so emotional at the end of it. Like I knew that I was 35. I saw kind of like how hard it was to get there. I saw how it all had lined up with beating Chicago the way that we did, playing Nashville and not having, you know, having a chance to beat them, playing a number 8 seed in LA. It was like, oh my gosh, this was the chance that we missed. We lose, I think, 3 games in overtime in that series. And you're like, are you kidding me? That was it. That was my shot. And that was definitely playing on my mind and breaking, I guess, your heart at the same, as you're trying to calmly answer questions and be dignified and classy.
Yeah, but also at that time you had to feel like, okay, this hurts right now, but you know, we got here, we know what we need to do to get there, even though it was a tough journey. I mean, you guys probably thought that was a stepping stone, or you know, just the first step in a long stay as a playoff team, didn't you?
It was 100%. Like Smitty was unbelievable. We had some young guys coming in that were really like Mikhail Bodker and Kyle Turris and Hansel. They were younger guys, but they had kind of were coming in. Oliver Ekman-Larsson was coming in. We had Keith Yandel. We had some guys that were like, okay, this is going to go in the right direction. The following year was the lockout, which mm-hmm. definitely hurt us. We missed the playoffs that year by like, I think, a point, and we'd won like, I think, 14 of our last 20, or 14 of our last 22 to miss a playoffs. And we were feeling like, okay, if the season had continued, we were starting to kind of get our mojo back a little bit after having kind of almost like a hangover from the year before as a team that hadn't had success and you have success. It's amazing on how fragile the mentality of thinking, oh, it's going to be easier now, and then the next year it's just as hard, and you're trying to deal with that. And that's why I think teams that repeat and get that experience, they just gain such a huge edge on other teams because they understand the difficulty of it all. So that was without a doubt, we were excited, but it never worked that way.
All right, we in the Valley, we have grown to loathe Dodgers fans and Lakers fans for a very good reason.
And the teams, too.
And their teams, but let's just talk about the fans for a minute. In that series, during your time competing against the Kings in Los Angeles, is there anything about Kings fans that's especially loathsome that we should know about, Shane?
There's a guy that sat behind the bench in Staples Center that was literally known league-wide for having like some of the best and most inappropriate and hilarious chirps of everybody on the bench. And you couldn't not hear him because he would wait until it was quiet and then would single out something about someone's past or about somebody's life that was, and everyone around the bench would get quiet so that you could hear him. Like, I don't know if he had a hand signal or something so that everyone around was like, okay, he's going to go. It was like a performance, and it was hilarious. Like, I found it so funny, and he's actually does media now for them, he does a good job. So it was hilarious. That was one of the things I always look forward to.
Did everybody find it hilarious, or were other guys bothered by it?
Some guys were bothered by it. Like, some guys, because sometimes it would be really personal.
What did he say about you?
Just that he's like, oh, I can't believe, like, when the 1 year we missed the play or the lockout or whatever, he's like, Shane, are you so excited you have a chance to lead the team to last place one more time? Like, and what a great leader you are. I mean, you're the only thing that remains here, and you guys can't win. They change everyone but you, and they still, maybe you're the common denominator. Like, it was just nonstop.
You know, You know Jarrett's taking notes on this, Shane, and he's going to use it against you later.
Oh, come on, Jarrett. I love it. I'm so sorry, Jarrett.
Shane Doan doing an impression of Jarrett Carlin impersonating Shane Doan. That's pretty awesome right there.
Inception.
Shane Doan, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Now, I mean, you've become a legitimate Phoenix sports fan as well over the years and root for all the local teams. So, you know, outside of hockey and outside the Kings, how do you feel about the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Rams, all those hated teams that we deal with here?
I feel the exact same way. Like, I feel the way that everyone does. Like, the Dodgers, I can't stand the fact that they were the team that they're like the Yankees in the West. So you just kind of gravitate to disliking them, except for they haven't won since like 86. So how can they be the Yankees in the West? And yet there's this feeling like they're just the tradition and everything that goes with it. And then they carry themselves like the whole thing in the pool. Yeah. Just it was like, that's it. That's exactly it. There you go. Thank you. You just justified all of my anger and all of my
right
that goes towards them. And then obviously the Lakers, when they were winning, I remember cheering for Sacramento because I wanted them to beat the Lakers. I wanted anyone to beat the Lakers, but,
Yeah, Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, Chris Webber.
Hey, Turkoglu.
Hey, Turkoglu.
Oh, Divac?
Vladdy Divac. Yeah.
GM now there, too. Like, I mean, it's the best part of sports is having a good rivalry is
yes.
what you love.
Amen.
Like, it's what we need and you want. And, you want them to hate you as much as you hate them. That's the only thing you're afraid of the whole time. And it's so funny because in Arizona, it's that always like, do they really hate us as much as we
that's
hate
right.
them?
That's
so true.
That's the crux of it all.
And you want that because you're like, please justify me not liking
right.
you by not liking you.
Right, by not like me back. Come on, man. Right?
Yeah.
It's like if Wile E. Coyote didn't care about the Roadrunner, it just wouldn't be the same, dude.
Have you guys, not that this is going to be way off topic, but have you guys seen the Batman Lego movie?
I have, yes.
I have not. And,
I think it's fabulous.
It is honestly maybe one of, Vince, you would love it. It is so sarcastic
yep.
and funny.
The personality they give Lego Batman is fabulous.
It's unbelievable.
Yep.
And the whole point of it is that Batman doesn't really hate the Joker, and the Joker hates the Batman.
That's right.
And the whole crux right. of the movie is that you don't hate me. Like, you need to hate me. Like, it's like this. Anyways, it's hilarious.
The Lego Batman is narcissistic. He's he's unaware of everything. He's fabulous. Yeah, I totally agree with you, man.
But that's the one Will Arnett does the voice,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he does.
I think I've seen a couple minutes. I got to go watch that.
It's really good.
It's so
good.
But that's the whole crux of rivalry. You're like, please hate me as much as I hate you. Like, we have this thing between us, right? Like, this is just us. This is our thing.
That's how you know you've arrived.
Exactly.
You're hated.
Yeah. All right, my last question for you, Shane. It's bringing to the current with the Coyotes. In recent weeks, towards the end of the year, we thought a billionaire owner was going to be a panacea for this team, and it all started to kind of get away from him and the organization again since early January, from a team that fell hard in the standings and out of playoff contention to furloughs and layoffs to jettisoning Aaron Cohn and all that stuff. And there seems to be a growing negative energy, or at least there was, around this team once again and its future once again. What kind of opportunity would it be for the Coyotes to get this berth, this play-in berth, and make something of it when the NHL returns?
Well, I just, success is it's hard to come by, and it seems to build on itself, and it's what you said. You get on the wrong side of some negative energy, and it seems to pile up against you, and you're given a five-game series that maybe you can get it going in the right direction again. And you look at what the Coyotes had accomplished at the beginning of the year, and then at the second half was obviously considerably more disappointing, and it goes back to that mental mindset of once things start going against you, it's hard to kind of get over that, have the ability to get over that hump. But you're just given a second lifeline. And I know it's not the playoffs to be in, but it is a playoff. You're playing for a chance to move on to play for the Stanley Cup. So you hope that this is something that they can take advantage of. They're in a tough. I think Nashville's really, really good. I like their team. I think the Coyotes are good. They got great goaltending. They got some superstars up front. I'm a huge Oliver Ekman-Larsson fan. I think he's so good. So they got a chance. It's just, can you take advantage of it? And it's going to be big. And I really hope that it all. I think Tok is an amazing coach, and they do a great job with the coaching staff. And obviously, I got a ton of personal friends with the manager with the training staff and all the people that support it. So I'm really, you want them to have success, but it's going to be tough.
Last thing before we let you go, Shane, and we appreciate your time as always. Are you holding up okay without fantasy baseball? Have you resorted to playing Korean fantasy baseball at this point? I mean, how are you doing?
I have watched a couple Korean games, and you know what's the most frustrating thing is that, like, on CBS Fantasy, on the CBS Fantasy Sports, that's the one that we do, I check it still probably every 4 or 5 days. And for some reason, it gives me joy when they update, like, my guy that I have, Aaron Judge, and I'm like, oh, he's actually playing now, so maybe he's going to be back at the start of the season. And then it breaks my heart when I hear them saying all this discussion. I'm like, come on, guys, come back and play, please. I need to see this. So, yeah. But the stupid fantasy thing, every like week they update your guys, and so your player profile gets updated. And I'm like reading that, thinking it's going to matter. Like, how pathetic is that?
Uh-huh. They got you, man.
Right.
They got you.
Yeah.
Donor, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for going down memory lane, even though it was painful for you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for doing a good job. We appreciate it. It's so nice to be able to, like, turn on the radio and listen to you guys and have a relief from everything that seems to be going on around us. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Feel that way about Jarrett?
Well, not Jarrett. Jarrett,
right.
No.
And, I didn't
and
think
the
so.
Kebab, the kebab, I've boycotted the kebab now. But no big deal. The fact that I know the name of it and that it's on Fridays.
Right. That's an improvement.
It is. It used to be that thing you do on Fridays.
That little funny joke thing.
That little funny thing you do.
Yeah, that little comedy sketch thing is what I used to call it.
The attempt at humor.
Yeah. You're the best, Donor.
Thanks, Donor. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Shane Donor, guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. Coulter, your family-owned dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti.